91.5 WMFO in Medford. Brings us to the end of another A Crash Course for the Ravers Show. Yes, went a couple minutes long there. Vin said he's going to be a little late. Vin Magazzini with Acoustic Ceiling. Going to be a little bit late today, so I'm going to put it in drive and let it go. No, I'm going to put in automation. Let the computer do the work. What have we been listening to? A bunch of Boston stuff. It's been going to be bands playing tonight. Greg Allen's Fringe Religion. She Stoned. Dave Strong with It's All Right. Mint Green with Time Stamped. Dutch Tulips, Disconnected. Bricks and Mortar with Salem. 4 Point Restraints with Dead Reckoning. Pony with Murder Car. And Liars, How Do You Know? And then we threw a band that wasn't Boston at the end. Just something for Cal. He wanted to hear 999. There you go, Cal Kelly. We had time for it. If Vin didn't call me and tell me he was going to be late, we wouldn't have done it. So thank Vin. We're 91.5 WMFO. I'll be back next week. 1 to 4, Saturday. Don't miss it. Until next time, see ya!
What has kept this band together? I mean, why have the Ramones endured when so many other bands fall by the wayside? And, you know, a lot of your contemporaries, certainly the Ramones spearheaded the punk explosion in 76 and 77. There's not very many of those bands left today, and here are the Ramones.
Well, I guess it's because we really enjoy doing what we do. And there's, you know, without sound cliche, there's a real love for what we do. You know what I mean? We enjoy playing. We enjoy touring. We enjoy playing for our fans because we feel they're the best. And we enjoy playing for ourselves. You know what I mean? And I don't know. I think it's the ultimate high, and it's the best therapy in the world, you know?
What do you remember about that first tour of England in 1976?
I remember it was really wild going over to England where, I mean, we were like, you know, we were selling out CBGBs and all. And, I mean, kind of, there was a wild scene going on there. But when we got over to England, it was, we were playing for 3,000 kids and everybody was already tuned in to what it was that we were all about. And I remember at the time, the big thing going on in England was pub rock. Dr. Feelgood was the big band at the time, and Brimsley Schwartz. And, you know, doing, I remember we were like treated like royalty when we got there. And then we did this club, Dingwalls, and basically the whole makeup of Dingwalls were all these kids that would later form their, these kind of groundbreaking bands of their own. And like at our sound check, we met like Johnny Rotten and then Joe Strummer and all these people. And they were really, you know, they were totally taken with the band. And and really, after that, when we left England at that point, you know, they told us that, you know, we had turned them on, kind of opened them up, and inspired them to form their own bands, basically. When we came back in 77, the whole thing was in full blown. And I feel like from that point on, you know, we really kind of brought upon a radical change that would really sweep the world, you know what I mean?
Ramone's popularity is at an all-time high in Europe, and in particularly places like South America.
Yeah, well, we're in South America. It's like this kind of mass hysteria that when we, especially like the last time we were there, it was just insane. Where, like for instance, in we landed in Brazil, and the airport was like, you had to walk into the terminal from outside, you know? And all these kids were on the outer deck of the like there was a deck at the terminal, outside deck, and all these kids were like screaming and just mobbing the deck. And when we went into the, to get our luggage, right? Like, the whole place was mobbed with kids, you know? We couldn't leave, like the luggage area. Like, even all the passengers, they were all, like, we're all being held hostage. And because the place was just swarmed with kids. And so they took us to a courtesy lounge. They brought a bus onto the runway, and we got a police escort to the hotel. And it was like, really wild. And Argentina, it was like, I went to do a radio station, and I got like attacked by 1,000 kids, and it was like really scary, you know, because in South America they just they're very passionate people, and they literally love you to death. You know, they want a chunk of your flesh. You know, that's what. It's not like here. It's very primal over there. You know what I mean? I mean, it's great. It's great, but
it's got to be really different for you.
It's very different when you kind of lose your sense of you know, well, you can't walk down the street, right?
And here in America, Spin Magazine, not long ago, naming the Ramones one of the seven most important bands in rock history with this quote, "No group in the last 18 years has been more important or influential." There's a real straight line from the Ramones to Nirvana. How did you feel when you saw that?
Well, it came, it was unexpected. I didn't even know about the issue, you know. So when I found out, I was, it was really great. I mean, it was made me feel like there is justice in this world after all. You know, it was like a real honor. It was like really, really like the ultimate honor. And it was coming from, other artists and critics and fans. You know, I mean, they're the ones who kind of were involved with the voting. I mean, I just thought it was great being up there with my heroes, like the Beatles and the Stones and Jimi Hendrix and Led Zeppelin, you know. And I can't wait till tomorrow.
So the Ramones' new album, Mondo Bizarro, is out on a new label, but you've gone back to an old familiar producer, Ed Stasian, who, of course, worked on the early Ramones albums, Rocket to Russia and Road to Ruin, among them. And probably there's no one else who could be more familiar with what the Ramones are all about than Ed Stasian.
Well, you know, we really love working with Ed Stasian. And he's been involved with us since 77. And nobody understands the band better. And nobody has the feeling, you know. I mean, Ed was always a big fan of rock and roll himself and a fan of, like, exciting guitars and, you know. And he understands how, you know, to record the band and kind of capture the excitement and power of what the Ramones are. And he does it best, you know. I feel this is our best album. I feel it's a real turning point in a lot of ways, and it's a real sacred offering, you know. I just think it's a masterpiece.
You talk about this new hunger, and I've heard that the Ramones have this new attitude, and after 12 albums and 16 years with one record label, you're with a new label, Radioactive. And I read somewhere that you've been getting some vocal coaching or singing lessons yourself lately. Is that true, Joey? And
well, two and a half years ago, I got sober, and that has a lot to do with my kind of new way of looking at things, let's say, you know. I got a whole different... I mean, I'm coming from another place that I wasn't coming from like 3 years ago. You know? And, for me, this album in a lot of ways is kind of a spiritual record to some degree. I mean, it's just that everything I did I'm very focused, and I knew exactly what I wanted in the writing of the songs, what they are about, the music and the lyric content. You know, I mean, it's, I guess especially the songs that I contributed. And, I just felt everything I did. I mean, it wasn't like I just did something. But I felt every nuance, every syllable. Because when I write, I write the bass lines and the guitar and the drums and the whole bit. And I just made sure that everything was exactly the way I envisioned it. So I feel like I fulfilled a vision. And, this is an album I always sort of dreamt about making and never quite made.
Just hearing you talk about the record, it really sounds like it's a really positive statement for you.
Yeah, it's a real positive, optimistic record, you know, and I've never been really more proud of anything I've done than this, you know. I mean, this, I feel this is the best I've done up to this point. You know, I mean, the makeup of the Ramones is, you know, what kind of fuels us is our fans, our, you know, it's the music, and it's sort of larger than all of us. And when we go out to play, I mean, you know, if you're fighting or not, you know, getting on with someone, it's all, you know, when you get out there and you play for the kids, I mean, it all seems trivial, whatever it was that, and it all dissipates, and you don't even remember what it was, you know, by the time you get off stage, you know. And Actually, on the new album, I wrote a song for our fans called It's Gonna Be Alright, which is kind of showing our appreciation for them. The coolest thing about our fans is that it's a very broad spectrum. I mean, we get kids into heavy metal and hard rock and thrash and hardcore and punk and alternative, and it's really the spectrum, you know? Fans from all different walks of life and different musical backgrounds and different races and creeds, and it's just like a big family kind of a thing. It's just it's like the great melting pot.
Tell me about some of the players on this album, and you and Vernon Reid sharing a cabbie experience?
Yeah, well, one night I left Overland, our office, it's up on 57th and Broadway. I grabbed a cab, and I was going down to the Village, right? So I got in this cab, and the guy took off, and he was kind of racing down Broadway, you know? And at first, it felt like a thrill ride. It was very exciting, you know? And then he started weaving in and out of the cars and trucks and all the taxis. And it was a Friday night, and Friday nights were pretty congested in New York because everybody's going out. The disco was blasting out of the radio, and the guy was pretty oblivious to, you know, what was going on here. You know, I mean, it was exciting, but then it started getting nerve-wracking, and then we were approaching Times Square, and I'd say we were doing about 90 miles an hour, 100 miles an hour at this point, and I started getting a bit nervous. Everybody had stopped for the red light, you know, in Times Square here, and this guy was just racing along, and we were like almost right up on top of another cab when he like hit the brake at about 90, and I thought we were just gonna plow right through the cab in front of us, and I kind of saw my life flash before my face and before my eyes, and I didn't think I was gonna be walking out of this, you know, and you know, it was a real harrowing experience, a real kind of, a real death ride, you know. And I guess when my terror subsided, it turned to humor. And when I got home in one piece, I wrote the song called Cabbies on Crack. You know, I wanted to kind of capture the feeling and put the listener in the back seat the way I was and kind of create an audio-visual kind of experience, you know. So we got Vernon Reid to kind of capture that experience with his guitar solo that he does, you know, which kind of acts as the taxi.
And it turns out that Vernon's had a few of those taxi experiences.
Well, Vernon had a similar experience. He actually had the crack vials on the back seat of the cab.
Pretty scary, swerving at 100 miles.
Let's talk about the first track on the album, the new record, Mondo Bizarro, Censor Shit, which is incredibly timely, although I understand that you wrote the song long before Gore was announced as a potential vice presidential running mate of Clinton.
Basically, it's an open letter to Tip of Gore. You know, like, there's a new censorship in America that's only getting worse, and it's a real crucial time right now with the elections but just the state of America, you know? And our civil and human rights are under attack. Concerning the issues of women's rights, the issue of abortion, record labeling, and this new censorship, the environment, the homeless, the deficit, you know, the SNLs, AIDS. And, you know, you're hoping to, like, to reach people and kind of open up their eyes and minds to what's really going down in America. And, you know, I mean, what Tip of Gore basically did was open a can of worms and let the real right-wing fundamentalists and extremists, you know, take it a step further, where with the record labeling, with people being harassed and penalized, and for selling certain albums in their record shops, interrogated. I mean, it's very it kind of reeks of like the Nazis. You know, it's censorship is un-American, and it reeks of fascism. You know what I mean? And I just see Tip of Gore as the devil.
So you obviously feel that Tipper is still a threat, despite
the
fact that people in the music industry...
I mean, like, they've been kind of, you know, lately they've been kind of presenting her in this new light with her new hairdo and her saying that she used to play in an old-girl rock and roll band and her love of Judas Priest and this and that. And it's a joke, you know, and it's just... you know, it's just a lot of crap, and people really got to stay on their toes. And, you know, she's a powerful woman, and it's scary.
Odyssey.
Talked about the song Touring, which is on the new album, and somebody told me that that was originally recorded quite a while ago.
Well, it was written for the Pleasant Dreams album, and actually there is a version that we had done with Graham Gouldman in that, you know, back then, but I guess I had written in 77 I wrote Sheena, and then later on I wrote Rock and Roll High School, and then Touring, and I guess there may be some similar aspects in the chorus or whatever of Rock and Roll High School and Touring. You know, it's a very colorful song, and it's, you know, it's a different kind of a song. You know, it's got a lot of parts that it just really works well, and it really kind of conjures up what it, you know, life with the Ramones on the road, and just life on the road. You know, anyway. You know, when you spend your life in the Holiday Inn and that becomes the only home you know. And it's a fun song. It's a good fun song. And a lot of people are kind of seeing it as like an anthem and this and that, you know. And I think it's, I could see it becoming an anthem.
I could have a heart-to-heart with my dad.
If I could have a heart-to-heart with my mom.
I'd probably talk about
cutting and burning.
I'd probably talk about
cutting and burning.
I'd probably talk about girls.
We'd probably talk about girls.
Anything, boys, school,
cutting and burning,
clothes.
You'd be amazed at what they'll talk about if you give them the chance.
If I had a heart-to-heart with my dad.
If it were real heart-to-heart, I'd tell my parents what I'm going through.
Just listen
and be supportive.
Probably talk to him about growing up.
I'd probably tell my dad that I wish we'd do more stuff together.
I don't think it has to be a heart-to-heart. I just want to talk.
Cutting and burning in my life made the pain that was going on in my mind real.
Give your family everything. Give them your time. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Carrie intentionally burned her arms with a curling iron.
Cutting and burning in my life made the pain that was going on in my mind real.
She got help and tries to help others.
Just listen and be supportive, but also don't enable the person to feel sorry for themselves and to keep going downhill. Try to stay away from that by encouraging them. How can you go forward? What do you need to do to make something positive out of this?
Who needs you to be supportive? From the Mennonite Churches and Faith and Values Media.
Instead of telling us who we should have, we gotta revolver on my own.
Enjoy new and vintage punk, rock and roll, rhythm and blues, psychedelic, surf, and rockabilly. You'll want to tune into the Desperate Hours with Alex every Thursday from 6 to 8 p.m. here on WMFO Medford.
We pride ourselves on the high moral standards of our program, and I mean that sincerely. We don't resort to sex or crime or violence or drinking on the program.
It's great music from the has-beens, should-have-beens, woulda-couldas, and never-weres. From the 1950s all the way up through to the present day.
Yes.
Connect with Alex and the Desperate Hours on Facebook and listen on Thursday evenings from 6 to 8 p.m. Only here on Tufts Freeform Radio, 91.5 on your FM dial and on the web at WMFO.org.
There's no crime in giving yourself over to pleasure.
Give me a heart and give me a home. Give me some time, 'cause I've been alone. You're not like anyone I've ever known.
Okay, fading off in the background, Adam Sherman with Downpour. This is WMFO in Medford. And for the next 15 minutes, you'll be hearing acoustic sailing. So
I am going to stick around, believe it or not. Yes, I shall. And I'll play music until 6 o'clock, so make sure you stick around for that.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Today I'm going to help parents translate teen slang. Now, when a teen says something is on fleek, it's exactly like saying, that's rad. It simply means that something is awesome or cool. Another one is totes. It's exactly like saying, totally, just shorter. As in, I totes love going to the mall with Becca. Another word you might hear is jelly. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will think you're, rad, just the same. To learn more, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
And your friends right here on WMFO. And I'm going to start the show off with a little bit of Toots and the Maytals. This is a song you've never heard, I'm sure. It's called Got to Be Tough. And yes, I'm talking to you. You've got to be tough. WMFO Medford.
Got to be tough. When things get rough, you got to be tough. And this is a warning. You got to be smart. Living in this time, it's not so easy to carry on. So if you are my friend, treat me like a friend. A friend in need, and a friend indeed. Just in case you never know, to overcome it, yeah. When you lost someone like loved ones, we have to overcome it, yeah. But just in case you never know, to be smart. Living in this time, it's not so easy to carry on. So if you are my friend, treat me like a friend. A friend in need, and a friend indeed. But just in case you never know,
are Tufts Freeform Radio.
probably wondering who sings that song. Well, it's the Shocking Blue. And it's time for the rundown. Here are all the songs you heard on today's Acoustic Ceiling. We heard You Got to Be Tough by Toots and the Maytals. And we also heard the Shocking Blue doing Venus. This is WMFO in Medford, and I'm going to carry on with more music. I hope you enjoy it. I'm kind of in the Shocking Blue mood, so I hope you are too. So check this out. This is another one by Shocking Blue. And thanks for you to be listening to this station, WMFO Medford. It is 91.5 FM. We're freeform radio, no BS, no BS. That means call me at 855-915-9636. I'll play what you want to hear. I'll play it live. I'll play it right now. This is WMFO, and we are in Medford.